Good morning, everybody here at New Day. Welcome. Good to see you all here. Glad you all are joining us today. For those who don't know, my name is Mark. I am the youth pastor with New Day and Bethany Church. And you might know my wife, Rachel, as well. She's kind of one of the office people. So that's how you may kind of know the connections here. But I'm glad you're all here. We got some people who are live in the room. Hello, people in the room. We got some people outside too. Hello, people outside. And everyone listening online too as well. Hello, welcome. So this morning, I want to start off real quick. I'm going to just do a quick prayer because there's a lot of, I think, things on people's minds in the world, the state of the world right now. And I just want to dedicate this time to God and to prayer. So pray with me real quick. God, there's a lot of things going on in this world, and I just pray that you just give comfort and peace to the people in the world. There's a lot going on in our country, a lot going on in Afghanistan, and we just know that you are in control, you are over all, and just help the people who may be dealing with struggles and doubts in this time, and to put their trust in you. Help us to know how we can comfort those around us as well and be lights in the world. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning I want to start off with a quick story. This is a story that goes back to when I was, I think it was like fourth or fifth grade. So I was kind of younger. In my class at school, there was an opportunity where they brought in a bunch of chameleons that were going to be offered out to students to be able to buy a chameleon, take it home, and have a pet chameleon. Everyone thought that was the coolest thing ever. Everyone was like, this is amazing. So getting caught up in kind of the pressure of all the other people in the class wanting it, I wanted one too. So we got a chameleon, we bought it, got a little kind of tank for it to put it in. And I mean, I wanted to keep it alive. You want to keep your pets alive, right? You don't want to worry about that. So the problem was, one, I was already kind of afraid to even like touch my chameleon. I didn't want to hold it. I was worried it would bite me or do other things. Like I had this fear of holding the chameleon. I also did not know what the chameleon really needed to like survive in as a pet. I mean, what environment does it need? What food does it need? We did a little bit of research and we got crickets for it. And this is just a little tiny chameleon and there's these big crickets. And it's like, okay, I guess it can eat these things. That's all right. Okay. So I got this chameleon. I set up in this tank at the end of the hallway by my room. Put some like vegetation and some like sticks in there for it to crawl on, some dirt in there, and a little like dish for water. And there was one day that just like I kind of got sick of buying like a few crickets at a time to feed it. So we thought, okay, let's buy just a big little tub of crickets for it. We took that and we dumped the whole thing in there. Lots of crickets. It was kind of gross. But it should be fed for a while. It should be fine, right? I let it sit there for a while. Didn't really worry about it for a week or so. And then one day, I go to look for my chameleon. I have no idea where it is. I'm looking everywhere in this tank I have, and I can't find it. I did not take very good care of my chameleon. I'm still not 100% sure what happened to it. There's a few theories that, I mean, maybe it got out somehow. I think the cap to it was on tight, so I don't think it got out. Another theory that was tossed around is potentially all the crickets that I dumped in there may have eaten my chameleon. I don't know. I have no idea what happened to my chameleon. So I remember just, like, dumping the whole tub out in the backyard because, it was, like, I'm sifting through it looking for my chameleon. No idea what happened to it. All the crickets go bounding off. I did not take very good care of my chameleon. Maybe you guys have experienced something similar to this type of thing. I've heard stories of people who they get fish and they get a fish tank and they go and they wash it out because it's a dirty fish tank. And then they watch as all their fish start dying and they use soap to like wash the tank. And you don't do that. So no, do not use soap to wash out a fish tank. Or maybe some people just can't take care of plants. I mean, no matter what you do not have a green thumb. All your plants just die off. Maybe it's baking. Maybe you just have trouble baking and whatever you try to make, it always turns out wrong and doesn't work out right. I don't know. Maybe you've experienced something like that. But there's all that care that you can try to put into things. And that's kind of related to the topic I want to discuss today, was people needing proper care too, and how we can have gentleness when working with people. There's a lot of characteristics and a lot of attributes that we have talked about over the past months through the summer, and they all kind of work together. But today we're focusing on gentleness and how it kind of connects with all of those. So when I was initially picking the topic, gentleness came to mind kind of quickly. It was one of those first topics that just stood out to me. And part of the reason why it stood out to me is I thought it was kind of a challenging topic for me to talk about. My initial thoughts when you think about gentleness is kind of like a baby, holding a baby, being very gentle, very careful, or holding on to something really fragile that you don't want to break and taking care of it. I also thought of kind of like driving down a road and it's just, there's no bumps. It's just like smooth sailing, really nice. Those were my initial thoughts when I thought about gentleness. One other thing that I think just kind of, I don't think anybody ever taught me this, but it kind of, I think, is a subconscious cultural thing that I picked up, is when I think of gentleness, I think of that more as a feminine thing than a masculine thing. And I'm not saying that's a right thought. I think that's kind of how I think about that growing up. And I think culturally that kind of has been brought up. And even when I was doing research after this, that's a big issue that happens, is people think gentleness is for the girls, guys aren't gentle. And we're going to talk about how that's a wrong pattern of thought tonight or today. So we're going to start off with the dictionary definition so we get that out of the way too. It says the quality of being kind, tender, or mild-mannered. That's the dictionary definition. So when I'm looking into gentleness and what that is, what it looks like, the initial thought is, okay, I want to go look and see how Jesus was gentle in the Bible. I wanted to look at that. So there's lots of examples, so we're just going to grab a few of them today. We're not going to focus on everything. But one of the first ones, Matthew 5, 38 through 42. It says, you've heard it that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the ones who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. So right there, there's an example of, I mean, someone smacks you, gives you a smack on the cheek, not trying to go and smack them back, but turning the other cheek. If someone comes after you, it's not going back after them. It's kind of taking that step back, that gentleness there. Another example that Jesus has is in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the context of this conversation that Jesus is having, it's talking a lot about kind of the legalistic, rule-driven, religious order that was happening and how it's all about rules, rules, rules. You got to follow all the rules, follow all the laws, make sure you do all that. And I mean, that would be pretty burdensome if you have to check off all these laws all the time. It weighs on you. I mean, that's a lot of things. I don't like a lot of rules. I'm sure a lot of you don't like a lot of rules. But Jesus is saying, come to me, though, because my burden is light. And come learn from him. It doesn't have that same level of legalism and rules, rules, rules all the time. A relationship with Jesus is different. So Jesus already is talking about an example about how he is gentle and lowly in heart. He's saying, turn the other cheek, all these things. There's also church teachings that happen as well. Different ways that other people in the Bible have talked about gentleness. So one of the more famous ones that you may be familiar with is it's in the list of the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. It's in there. Gentleness is part of that list. When Paul is a prisoner in Ephesians, he encourages people to have gentleness in their actions and the way they behave. There's also instructions to a young church leader, Timothy. So this stands out to me because, I mean, I'm a young pastor. And this is in 1 Timothy 6:11. It says, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. So, I mean, right here, we're already seeing all these guys in the New Testament saying, be gentle. This is not just a thing for the ladies to worry about. Guys, be gentle. Church leaders, be gentle. People in the church, be gentle. Gentleness should be something that describes you. Peter, also in the New Testament, talks about how we should be gentle in our sufferings. In 1 Peter 3:14 through 16, it talks about when you are facing struggles, facing suffering, you are to respond with gentleness for the hope that's in you. With gentleness when giving an account for the hope that's in you. So it's a pretty clear example that gentleness is something that is an instruction for people who want to follow Jesus. Jesus' example of being gentle. So when thinking about this as well, it brought up a few other thoughts, though. As I read through the New Testament, there are some other scenes of Jesus especially that I see. There's some harsh moments from Jesus. I'm not going to say there's not. There's definitely some harsh moments from Jesus sometimes out there. Like the opposite of gentle, I think of harsh, violent, rough, all those things. So opposite of holding a baby, like throwing a baby, or on a really bumpy road, or when you have something that's breakable and you just like toss it across the room and say, hey, catch, and just hope it doesn't break. I mean, the opposite of gentleness. So Jesus has some moments where he's kind of harsh. He's kind of rough when he does these things. Just some examples that I see of that are moments where he is dealing with those legalistic demands and oppression of people. False teachings is another one, and using religion for personal gain. These are all moments that I see Jesus kind of respond in a more harsh and confrontational way. There's a time where Jesus and his disciples were confronted about picking grain on the Sabbath, and they're saying, hey, that's work. You can't do work on the Sabbath. That's not allowed. And Jesus is like, no, you got to eat. Like, you can't say people can't eat on this just because it's the Sabbath. And there's a lot of kind of criticism of the Pharisees and the religious leaders at the time and their sort of oppressive ways of the people. And I mean, one of the more famous ones, again, Jesus walking into a temple and flipping tables because people have made the house of God into a just like a place for business and a house of thieves. I mean, it's taking advantage of people. So it's this confrontation of these legalistic demands, these suppression, false teaching, and using religion for personal gain. Those are moments where it's he comes at it pretty harsh. Paul also does kind of the same thing when in Galatians that he's addressing people who are doing some false teachings and teaching a different gospel than the gospel that he's preaching, the gospel of Jesus, this gospel that's leading other people astray. I mean, he uses the terms, let them be accursed, and that's harsh. I mean, it's not a gentle way to say something to somebody. I mean, kind of literally speaking, let them go to hell. Like, that's basically what that is saying, is if someone is teaching a different gospel, get rid of it. Like, it's awful. It's terrible. So those aren't gentle. But there still should be this life where your life is defined by gentleness. That should be something that is a characteristic that it is in your life. Like I said back, Paul mentions in Ephesians 4 when he's a prisoner, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, he says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul says this should be something that you are eager and going towards, is maintaining this unity and acting with humility and gentleness and patience and bearing along with one another in love. This is something that is urging us to do. So the people around us, that should be something we are actively thinking, okay, I need to be gentle, I need to be humble, patient, bearing with others, all these things. I should be doing that. We talked about how Jesus teaches that those who hurt you, we should respond in gentleness. That's not easy. When someone hurts you, there's that initial gut reaction of, okay, how do I get back at them? I mean, the moments where you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off, or someone's driving way too slow, or takes a right turn at like 2 miles per hour, and you're like, let's go! You can have moments where you don't respond with gentleness. There's even more serious things, that ways that people can hurt you. How do you respond when somebody hurts you? Is it gentle, or is it, I'm going to get even with you? I'm going to make you hurt like you made me hurt. I mean, the way Jesus described it back in Matthew 5 is turn the other cheek. And that's not easy. Being gentle for those who believe different things than you. I mean, we have seen how polarized the world has become over the past couple years. How are you responding to people who have different beliefs than you? Are you handling it with gentleness, or is there more of a harsh reaction when somebody has a different way of thinking than you do? I mean, what if they're just misinformed? What if they have been misinformed and that's why they believe the thing they do? Or they have a different worldview. People's worldviews define so much of the way they're going to think. Whatever they have as their top priority kind of flows into everything else. And if you have a different worldview than them, you're going to have different results. So that's just how it's going to be. And also, do you have the humility to say, maybe they're right and I'm wrong? Are you able to listen to what they have to say and say, maybe I am misinformed. Maybe I'm the one who has the wrong point of view. Because that's a gentle mindset. More harsh mindset is like, I'm saying I'm right and that's it. I'm not going to even think about anything else. But a gentle way is to say, okay, I'm going to take the time to listen and understand, to make sure I understand what you're saying, and not just assume that I know what you're saying just because you're part of this camp over here, right, and you believe all that stuff. It's gentleness is taking that time to listen, understand, and process that way, and have the humbleness to say, I might be wrong, because none of us are perfect. None of us are going to have it all together. And another group of people who we should be gentle towards is those who are struggling, people who are going through tough times. There's a lot of people in my life who I know who have a negative relationship with the church. And there's a lot of people I know who have left the church because of hurts that have happened. And I think one of the most important things in still them feeling like they are loved is that gentleness towards them. There are some people who have responded to them with more harsh things and they say, oh, you believe that? You're probably not even a Christian. And they come across very harsh, very judgmental. And I mean, some people just have things that come up that are difficult for them to deal with. Different beliefs, different things that happen in the world or happen to them. And it's hard for them to get through it. And how we respond to those people is important. Are we going to be gentle and try to help them through it? Or are we going to be more harsh and say, well, this is how it is, get over it? I mean, it hurts me because there are people who I know who are say that Rachel and myself are kind of their only connection to the church. Like, they feel like everybody else in the church has been awful to them and rude to them and really cruel. And we've had people say that you guys are kind of the only thing that's holding us even remotely on there. You're like the pinky that's still there for us. And that's hard to hear because that's the opposite of what I see as the biblical representation of how we should handle people who are going through that stuff. We should be gentle and loving to them. And I see people putting up walls and pushing them away. So all these groups, there's plenty of other things. Other people we should be gentle towards and show this kind of soft, tender care for. There are some cautions, though, that I thought up as well when having this mindset of I'm going to be gentle. There are some cautions that came to mind. The first one that was kind of a caution was especially the truth without gentleness. There are people who kind of get this mindset of truth is what's most important, but truth without that gentleness is not complete. These should all work together. All these attributes and truth, love, peace, all these things, gentleness should be included in this. They all should work together. It should not be going truth first, forget gentleness. When the early days of kind of Rachel and my relationship, when we got together, I was not the most gentle person when it came to dealing with moments where she was having difficulties. I was more of this, like, this is how it is. It's the truth. This is how life is. What you're believing is wrong. Like, that's not true. It's a lie. This is true. So when she'd have those moments where she's kind of down and feeling discouraged, doubting, whatever it is, I would come in and I'd be like, I got this. I do my 360 slam dunk of truth and just say, there it is. That's the truth. You feel better, right? Did not work out very well. That's not what you needed to hear. I mean, what I was saying was true, but the way I went about doing it did not help her because I was just like, here's the truth, take it. But when I started to add more gentleness into how I approached that and started to, listen to her more, and it wasn't just like, take the truth, that's it, that's all it is. It was more kind of like guiding her through it in this kind of soft approach to it. That's when it started actually helping her. And it was a positive thing. That truth was viewed as a good thing rather than that's just making me feel worse. So, truth without gentleness is going to be incomplete. It's going to not work. The same way goes the other side, though. Gentleness without truth is also going to be a problem. I mean, what I always think of when it comes to this kind of like, oh, just take what you, just go be gentle, is when it comes to like children. If a kid is saying like, I want to eat candy for dinner, and you're like, okay, honey, whatever you want, you can do what you want, you have your candy for dinner, that's not good for them. I mean, maybe they'll throw a fit if they don't get the candy for dinner, but that's not good for them. It's just let them have what they want. Or the kid's like, I want to go drive the car. And they're 3 years old. And it's like, okay, honey, whatever you want, go drive the car. It's fine. No, it's there's truth that still needs to be there. You're not ready for this. Candy is not dinner. Like, it's not healthy for you to just, you need other nutrients. So adding in that in life as well is important. Sometimes people are not going to like what they're going to hear, but giving them that truth with gentleness is where it comes important. So don't forget the truth as well when you're acting in gentleness, because just withholding the truth and letting people have their way is not truly loving people either. So another example of a caution is people sometimes kind of have this mindset of, oh, gentleness, that's not part of my personality. I'm not a gentle person. That's just not who I am. So my response to that, and with gentleness, I will say this, that's kind of the whole point, is we're supposed to deny ourselves, deny maybe who we are to follow the life of the Spirit's leading. We're supposed to no longer live in our old ways, but now live that new life in the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit includes gentleness. So if you are living your life following this new Spirit that God has given us, gentleness should be included in there. So maybe it is not part of your base base response. Maybe you do have that response of, I'm going to get even, or I'm going to truth bomb people. But we're supposed to live in that newness of life, that new Spirit, and have that fruit of gentleness be present in our lives. Another caution I think people can sometimes go to is, oh, people are just too sensitive. Some people are just too sensitive. And I mean, honestly, maybe they are. That might be a true statement as well. But I mean, some people, like a little newborn baby, they need different care than an adult would need. And we need to meet people where they're at. What do you want to contribute to a person's life? I mean, everybody's different. Everybody's at different points in their growth. And yeah, maybe someone is more sensitive than you are. Maybe someone needs extra care compared to what you need. But what's loving and kind is to meet people where they're at and help them there. Not say, I'm up here, you need to come join me up here. It's saying, I'm going to meet you in your life. And I think Jesus follows this example too, as he meets people in their life, at a well or at their house or wherever it is. He meets them there and brings them along. He doesn't say, I'm over here, you got to come to me. So that mindset of, I want to contribute a positive way to someone's life. I don't want to just dismiss people because they're too sensitive. And the last one, the last caution that I have, and I'm sure there's more, but these are the five that I thought of. We can miss our blind spots in life, okay? So the big example I have of this in my life is when I was out in Spokane, Washington. I was doing youth ministry there. And what would happen is all the leaders, we had a bunch of young leaders who were there. And I mean, if you're like a young 20s guy, you can get a little competitive, right? So we'd have our kind of game time at youth group, and there was always these leaders who they would just try too hard to win. And we're going against, like, middle schoolers. I mean, you're an adult. You don't need to just, like, show off on these middle schoolers and high schoolers. They're way smaller than you. So we always had the mindset of, okay, take it easy. You don't need to show off. You don't need to pretend you are, like, a professional athlete on these little kids. And we taught that to the other leaders, and we always encouraged that. So I'd come in with this mindset when we're playing games. Okay, take it easy. Don't go too harsh. So there was one day we were playing soccer in our gym that we had there. And, I mean, I was taking it easy. I knew if I just, like, charged at the ball when there was, like, this little sixth grade girl who was there, she, like, she'd cower away if I just charged at her. So I made sure I took it easy and didn't, like, run up to her too fast. Or, like, I could kick the ball and it would be a solid kick. It would probably, like, hurt somebody if it hit them. But I knew, okay, take it easy. Just light kicks. Don't necessarily have to just, like, boot it as far as I can to emphasize a point of, like, I'm a big, strong man or anything. Like, no. This is for them. We're here for them. So, I mean, there's all these age groups, all the way from 6 to, I think there were some seniors there too. And we're playing around, playing soccer, and I'm being very careful to make sure that I am taking it easy. So, I come out from youth group. I'm like, oh, that was great. Good youth group. And Rachel comes up to me and is like, man, you look like a jerk in there when we were playing soccer. Like, you got to go apologize to Duncan. I'm like, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. She's like, yeah, you like totally bowled him over. You like plowed right through him to get the ball that one time. I'm like, what are you talking? I have no idea what you're talking about. It turns out we were playing and apparently he like ran into my leg or something and he just went flying, like rolled on the ground because I hit him and I didn't even feel him. So I had to be like, okay, yeah, I'll go apologize. Like, I want to apologize to him. I mean, he remembered it. I didn't, but I didn't realize this happened. And I mean, this kind of point is sometimes we get so caught up in our own activities, our own life, our own things that we may not realize how we are not acting gently, but we're acting and kind of bowling over people. We'll miss those blind spots. So one thing that I would hope that all people here would be willing to do is maybe say to somebody who you trust, somebody who is close to you, who kind of sees how you act in your daily life, hey, can you keep an eye out for maybe some areas I'm missing where I'm not being gentle? Can you keep an eye out for me? Let me know if I'm maybe acting a little too harsh or rough towards somebody. And then having that willingness to listen and accept when somebody says, hey, you were being kind of a jerk here. And not responding with, no, I wasn't. What are you talking about? No. Like having that mindset of, okay, I'm willing to hear out maybe where I am missing the mark here. So all those are my cautions in kind of the mindset of we're going to live gently. But it's clear to me that this is something that is meant for everyone. It's not just for ladies, it's for everybody. And it's something that's important. It's going to be, I mean, crucial for the growth of people around us. It's going to be crucial for our testimony and our light to the world is how we act with gentleness in this world. And try to not have people end up like my chameleon where you don't know what happened to them and they just disappear. But taking care of something with that gentleness and that care, the tenderness, to make sure that it survives and thrives and keeps going. So keep that in your life. So let's pray and everyone can take off. God, thank you that you have given us the example of gentleness and you've shown us how we can be gentle in our lives and what that means. Help us to see the areas maybe we're missing the mark and where we need to sort of soften ourselves a little bit more. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, everybody.